The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Well, the Google Wallace didn't get herself ejected in the state final, offered some dumb stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't want to say I dreaded showing up to this football game on Friday night, but...
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Like, if you want to talk, you have to talk into the microphone. There we go. Mic to mic.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR. Lee, this is Bird's Eye View. Jesse and Mike here. Hankus Pankus is giving the WTBR radio station a free vacuuming. So be on the, I guess I can't say lookout radio station. But you might be able to hear it in the background. This is child labor, and we're not sure if we're breaking child labor laws, but it's with the express written consent of his parents. He's paying managerials. There you go. That's true. You're working for something, I suppose, at that point. I mean, this is basically what they need to do with all the Taconic kids, right? All the various, like, maintenance problems in the city, just have them go out and fix them.
Yeah. You see it sometimes where the wood class built the dugouts or something. I know at the new Taconic track facility, they were supposed to be building, like, the, like a shed for discus stuff.
Oh, yeah, it's under construction. You can see it. I mean, it makes perfect sense to... If you're having the kids learn carpentry skills, have them actually learn carpentry skills.
Sure.
And, I mean, you know, they're all the... auto shops in the city are talking about not having enough staff. It's like, well, apparently Taconic is like six bays, and they're teaching kids mechanical skills. Either do some internship programs or let me take my car into there to get an oil change, you know? Like, I'll give them $10, and I'll do it with the understanding that maybe something will go wrong, and I'll have to take it to Firestone. But, you know, like, come on. Let's put these kids to work. Oh, what's up, Hankus? You taking a... Yeah, I mean, you know what? This is good. This is break time. If your union leader was here, then he would tell you that you should absolutely be doing that. Where's your cigarette? That is a question. Yeah. Anyway, it is a drizzly day here in Pittsfield, which makes sense because it was really nice the last few days. So the last vestiges of winter.
Can't
have nice things. No. Yeah.
Someone put it like, can you plant in Massachusetts yet? And it was like, hell no. Because it might hit freezing this weekend.
That's fun.
So yeah, you don't want your plants in the ground just yet, it seems like.
No.
Like the past few days I was out back, I was like, I could start like working on this. Did not, but.
Yeah, no, given that, yeah, if you planted them and then 3 days later they all died, that would be kind of a bummer.
There was
something I was going to talk about. Now I completely forgot what it was. That's a pain. In any case,
Celtics? No.
No. Maybe that was what it was. Celtics did not close it out. They are playing tonight.
They did not.
Being in the newsroom with Mike when the Celtics were playing was very funny.
It wasn't as bad as last year.
No.
I think we were at the office last year for one of the 20-point losses to the Knicks. Yeah. Yes.
I also think we were there when they won the game after Tatum got hurt, and your dad was texting you like, this was fun even though it's over. And you're like, they're winning! Enjoy it!
Yeah. Yes, I believe that's my dad does that.
You were very much denying the inevitable.
Let's live in the moment here.
Yes, live in the moment. There you go. But yeah, no, I mean, the Celtics not closing things out. Just no shock there. We'll see if the... I mean, I don't think the Sixers can take it. You know what? I can believe they go to seven. I don't think they're winning the series, though. Unless Joel Embiid has two more amazing games in them.
This will be Embiid on one day's rest, which is... That's my hope. That's what I'm thinking going in. I'm like, there's no way this guy could do this.
You need Tyrese Maxey and VJ to be a lot better than they had in the last game. In any case... Baseball. We've been keeping track of the... Mike's done a great job keeping track of the strikeout leaders.
We'll see. No one's complaining. Did I do a great job? How many emails are we going to get today? They're like, this is wrong.
I haven't gotten any emails yet. I don't know about the other account, but I haven't gotten any emails yet. Do want to mention Matt Egan for Pittsfield, who I mentioned quite at the top of the story, because he has been just a revelation for the Generals. We knew about Jay Cody. We knew about Simon Melly. Simon Melly's going Division One to UMass Lowell. Jay Cody, well, he was going Division Two. We're going to see what happens there now that Ray is going down to D3.
Yeah.
But two very hard-throwing, you know, high 80s guys. And then Matt Egan is more of a junk ball contact pitcher, but he has been excellent for them. He has a .618 ERA so far this season, just phenomenal. And Mike, can you pull up the spreadsheet of my story? Just how many Ks he get in 20?
Sure. Yeah, I was just looking up because speaking of Egan, he is also a college commit. He was one of the four that signed on that day, and he was actually the one I focused on because we had already done the two D1 guys. And I believe he was, yeah, he had a injury last year that kind of kept him off the field. Softball, baseball. Matt Egan, we have fifth, 22 and two-thirds innings, 29 Ks.
There you go. So doing pretty well there. And then, yeah, then you add in Jay Cody and Simon Melly, who, like I said, they're both going to play in college. Jay Cody, 1.235 ERA. Simon Melly, 2.579 ERA. That's a three-headed monster. And it's really, really, really hard. And it's helped the Generals because when you're resting Cody, when you're resting Melly, now you have this other guy who you don't have to worry about. And he can go six innings, and you're not worried about how much of the other bullpen do I have to get in? And then when Melly's in, do I need to have him pitch longer because the bullpen is shallower because we've had more of a general day when they're not pitching? And you don't have to worry about that because you have three legitimate starters now. And so, yeah, this has just been an excellent emergence for Pittsfield, which is the number three ranked team in Division III. The last 2 years, we should back up and let me break this down.
Okay.
So in the statewide era, they started out in Division III, Pittsfield did, just like Taconic.
Mm-hmm.
And they were there for 2 years. They made one round of 16. And then they moved up to Division Four, or moved down to Division Four, I should say. And in Division Four, the first year they were in Division Four, they went to the state final, lost to Seekonk. And then last year they went to the Final Four. They were the number one overall seed, got upset by Millbury, which won the whole thing. Now they're back in Division Three. So we did have some questions about power rating. Where were they going to be? They're number three in Division Three right now. Great start. They're about midway through their regular season schedule. So Generals doing very, very well, and it'll be really interesting to see, however, they face that higher level of competition in the statewide tournament. But as of right now, they're doing excellently against Western Mass competition. They did beat Auburn, which is a Central Mass team, and there's a chance they could play in states, which is kind of funny. But then, in Class B in Western Mass, Pittsfield, two-time reigning champ, is the number one overall seed by a healthy margin. Taconic, which is the team they beat for the Western Mass Championship last year, is number two. Wakona, which is the team Pittsfield beat for the Western Mass Championship 2 years ago, is number three. So you have a Berkshire top three, and that would be a pretty fun championship if it's Pittsfield versus the winner of Taconic Wakona.
Yeah, it would be Pittsfield hopefully going up against one of the other two kind of elite pitchers in Berkshire County right now.
Taconic's Quentin Christopher or Wakona's James Rebuse, who neither have really had much time on the mound, just with some injuries. And they both had Quentin Christopher got back for Taconic once, and he didn't go much. I think only three or four innings. Three or four innings, but massive innings. Helped Taconic to a huge win over Springfield Central. That's a D1 team. Central is number five in Division One, and beat Pittsfield High. So that's a huge win for Taconic as they try to right their ship here. And James Rebuse for Wakona is a D1 commit to Northeastern. He only pitched three innings in a win over New Hampshire, and in three innings where you need nine outs, he got eight strikeouts. So doing pretty well. He's also hit like four or five home runs this season. So to get them back healthy, back in the rotation, those teams are going to seriously get some reinforcements because of that. And if both of them are on the bump, in a semifinal game, that's going to be fireworks.
Yeah. I think, I mean, I believe very well could pitch against one another on Saturday. There's, I mean, there's a decent chance of that. Taconic and Wakona will face each other.
I imagine that's a Howard game.
Potentially. but then, yeah, Pittsfield-Taconic is early next week as well. So, yeah. A big couple days for Taconic in particular, who kind of needs these wins more than the other teams do. Obviously, Wakona and Pittsfield have plenty of wins so far.
Yeah, Taconic is 25 in Division 3, so still inside the top 32, would still be an automatic qualifier, but they have a losing record. They did go on a three-game winning streak that was snapped last night by Mount Anthony. 3-0 loss, tough loss. Defense played well, but offense just mustered one hit, and that's not going to do it. So that snaps their win streak, but they have been making some strides here for sure, which is really nice to see. And a team that made a lot of strides after a rough start of the season, Drury, number one seed in Class C, reigning Class C champion. They are number three in Division 5, coming off a Final Four trip. Connor Hinkle for Drury, another ace who's going D2. He has not pitched yet, but he has been really excellent in the field and at the plate. So that has still helped. Carson Rylander, I believe, is our leader in strikeouts.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, D1, yeah, D1 commit for
who
pitching.
Who is also a D1 commit for Maris. I was waiting for you to say what his numbers are.
Oh, he's got 35 Ks in 21 and a third innings.
So pretty good when, yeah, you're getting 1.5 Ks an inning.
Yep. Yeah, he's heating up over the past couple weeks as well, after a bit of a slow start. I know he was on the hill in that opener, where they got kind of blasted by, no, I guess not blasted, but yeah, they lost to Wakona. And I don't think, he pitched a ton of innings in that game, so he's definitely picked it up. Yeah, him, and then number two and number four are both from Mount Everett, Darius Taliaferro, Brody Kinna, who Mount Everett's 11-0 now. They win. Yep. Yeah, they won yesterday, so 11-0 now. And then Gus Luff in there as well, kind of a workhorse for a team that's struggling to give
a
lot of run support coming out of Monument, but he's got 32 Ks in 25 innings. Matt Egan right up there, Jay Cody. Egan, it was a torn hamstring. That's why he wasn't available much last year. Mason Daly, who pitched Lennox by Taconic, is number seven there, 26 Ks.
Ooh, he's giving me a chair. This is a new one. He's never pushed a chair over to me before.
And we got a bunch of young guys on Lee that are kind of popping here and there with the schedule that Lee plays. It's been... Things are despite today, heating up.
So Drury is number one in Class C. They beat Greenfield for the championship last year. Greenfield's number two, but Drury's got a wide lead power rating-wise. Lennox, Greylock, and McCann are all in Western Mass if it started today. And then Mount Everett is number one in Class D. So they're coming off a semifinal trip last year. That's huge. They look like they've made the leap, and they are the number one seed in Class D. Hopkins Academy, which is always a great baseball program, is right behind them. But even if you're one or two, you're still getting home field to the final. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they look like they're... Oh, you got a vacuum under here? Sorry, the union boss is telling me I got to move my chair. Because of the emergence of Taliaferro and Kinna, who, you know, replaced their two pitchers from last year, they got two lefties, and their defense makes plays, and they can hit the ball well. They're just, they look like a very, very good team who should be dangerous come tournament time, and they're number four. They're number four in D4. They went to the quarterfinals last year. They lost to Drury. So right now, Drury 3, Mount Everett 4 in the state, and that's awesome.
Yeah, I was just looking up at Hopkins' schedule. So Hopkins is 10-1. Their one loss was to Frontier. They will be at Monument on Sunday.
I don't imagine Sunday game.
No, that's just their only Berkshire County opponent this year. So
okay. So baseball, just it looks like it could be a pretty good baseball season. Wakona is, I believe, number 13 in D4 in the state. And then in D5, Lennox is in the top 15, I think. Lee is in the top 32. McCann is in the top 32. So there's a lot of Berkshire teams being well represented in the state rankings. That finally came out blissfully.
Like basketball, it's, you know, like we're going to have Berkshire County's going to have the one seed in all three of the PVIAC tournaments that they're in.
As of right now, yeah. And then on the softball side, not quite as good. Hoosick Valley is the kind of the clear, the
clear cut
banner holder, one, which is what we expected. That's what we've been saying. That's what we expected. 11-0 on the season. They are the number one overall team in Class D. They were the Class D runner-up last year, lost to Turner's Falls. Turner's Falls is not what it has been. They seem like a pretty hard-hitting team. They hit the ball well. They score a lot of runs, but they do not have the defense they had because their pitcher graduated. So they are very, very different from what they have been. And they're the number two seed in Class D. So Hoosick, very good chance to win the Western Mass Championship. Hmm. And Hoosick is the number two overall team in Division 5, although Georgetown is number one, and Georgetown is so far out in front of everybody else. They have a power rating that'd be competitive up in D1, which is kind of crazy. But Hoosick still number two. They're little ahead of number three Hopedale, which beat Hoosick in the quarterfinal last year. So that'd be an interesting semifinal rematch. But Hurricanes, they can just hit the ball 1-9. They have a solid defense.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they've been dominating so far, which has been a lot of fun to see. And the rest of the county is has some questions, but I'll tell you what, Lennox and McCann are number one and number two in Class C. Lennox one, McCann two. And with Greenfield and Franklin Tech rebuilding, it'll be interesting to see if they can make some noise, because Lennox was a semifinalist last season, got shelled by Franklin Tech. Franklin Tech's pitcher has now been really good for MCLA. And McCann went to a semifinal a year or two ago, and they got shelled by Greenfield, which, you know, was going to state championship games. Their pitcher is now at Merrimack, D1. And so, yeah, Lennox has a huge start to this week. They beat Monument on Monday. They beat Taconic on Tuesday, and they went to beat Hopkins Academy, which is a solid softball program, on Wednesday. They have a day off today, and then they have Hoosick tomorrow in Adams. So, and then they have Wakona either Saturday or Monday. But
Saturday.
Yeah. So, yeah, just some huge games coming up for the Millionaires. And they've handled it really well. They're 7-2. Their defense can be up and down. They make some errors, but they've also shown a knack for making plays when they need to. And they hit the top of their order is very good. Their bottom of the order is streaky, but when they get momentum, they came in clutch against Taconic when they needed to, and their defense made the plays. And is that keyboard connected to anything? I don't think it is. Okay, he stopped anyway. And then in regards to McCann's just a very solid team. Undefeated right now. They got two pitchers. I don't know if you hop over there, but I believe that Emma Lemire and Avery Lane are 9-10 and are strikeout leaders.
I'm sorry, you have it ordered by inning here? 9-10. Yes. 9-10. Emma Lemire has 36 Ks. Avery Lane has 27.
So, yeah, pretty good. The Hornets are just...
Emil Meyer, yeah, pitched a no-hitter.
Six-inning no-hitter.
Yeah, it was a single walk away from a perfect game over six innings against, a relatively weak Mohawk Trail team.
But even still.
even still. They all count the same in the stat sheet. Lennox, these next two, can Lennox risk... like pitching Evelyn Giuliano against either who, like, do you as a coach, would you make that call? Be like, all right, let's just see what happens here. See if she can hold one of these. They're going to face the two highest powered offenses they're going to face this year. It seems like back to back days. So you kind of see, you throw both and see which, you know, what comes out, or do you try to play it as you've played the season and just try to beat them 9-8 or whatever, 10-8.
And we're going to answer that question after the break. Yeah. Stay tuned.
At Pittsfield Community Television, we have a saying, anyone can learn to create television. With the support of trained production staff, we can teach you how to professionally operate a camcorder, use editing software to tell a story, work as a team in a production studio, and take those skills into the community. If you've been curious as to how video production works, we'd love to have you as a member. Visit us online at pittsfieldtv.org or call us at 445-4234 for more information.
Hi, this is Sean Sayre, Executive Director of PCTV. When Taconic High School was demolished, we could have lost this radio station. Instead, PCTV stepped in, built a new studio and transmitter, and gave the station new life. And now it's time to pay that back. Support this station today. Go to WTBRFM.com and click the donate button. You won't be sorry. Pittsfield Community Radio thanks you for your support.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Mike, great question before the break. I was trying to do a little professional hanger there.
That was
yeah, so, yeah, but yo, Lennox. Giuliano is
a more of a she got her 300th K earlier this season. A bit more of a strikeout pitcher. Hasn't pitched a ton this year. But Cassidy Flynn is way more of a contact pitcher. So yeah, can you do you bring your kind of faster thrower, harder thrower to face these teams that are routinely scoring 12 runs?
Yeah, I mean, so Evelyn Giuliano got the start yesterday. And I think that's in part because Flynn pitched two games. But
yeah.
Giuliano got the start, and then in the fifth inning, they pulled her. And that was important because Hopkins was hitting her. You know, I mean, Lennox won 10-7, and then they pulled her, and I believe Flynn went shutout the rest of the way. Or at least the runs were not credited against her. But they were hitting Evelyn Giuliano. Now, I didn't look too deeply into it, but I'm not quite sure if that's as much. You could handle her in the circle, or if that was what the rest of the defense is doing, and that's important because when she's in the circle, Amaya Algarz at first base comes to catch, and then Grace Giuliano, who's at shortstop, usually goes to first, and then Cassidy Flynn either has to go to second, and then Lily McDonald. And so, like, the whole infield rearranges, and that can be a lot. And like I said, they're susceptible to errors anyway, and then you rearrange everybody, and that can just get kind of shaky. And so I think that's as much to do with it as anything, where it's like, all right, well, she might be better in the circle, but if the plays aren't going to be made, then what's the difference? So, I don't know. It'll be really interesting to see. I would not be surprised if they start Flynn and then switch to Giuliano or vice versa. I could also see them trying to
change speeds mid-game.
Try to change speeds mid-game, change the approach mid-game. Also, maybe Flynn gets Husik and then Giuliano gets Kona, right? Like, you know, if you're playing back-to-back days against these two high-powered offenses.
Possible. The other thing, so neither of these opponents will matter for Western Mass for them.
Correct.
Do they need to win one of these two games, though, just like confidence wise?
Well, so this is the first game against Wakona, so they do have another game against Wakona later on.
Oh, right. Yeah, Wakona's schedule is super backlogged.
That's correct.
Right. Yes. So they do, yeah. They. But this is the home one, though.
I mean, I think who's going to be a huge emotional win, a huge moral win, because just like it's become a real rivalry this year, and they got you at home, and they've been undefeated. And Husik, you could tell, really wanted that game. So now do you go and spoil things? Husik's undefeated. Do you spoil him in Russell Field at home in Adams? Yeah, I mean, for D5 purposes, that's a huge win, right? Lennox is 8 in D5. Husik is 2. So if you win that game, that's a huge way to say we can compete with the top of D5. And then Wakona is just like a new foe, and that's a D4 team, and that's, you know, the second best team in Suburban West. So, yeah, I think, you know, I don't know if they need, but if they're losing, you know, 12-6, that's a bad sign, right? I think you need to show that you can play very competitively with the two best teams in your league. So I don't know if it's a need. Like, they're 7-2. They're not hurting, but to be able to
needed for confidence.
You know, if you can go 1-1 right here, that's a really, really great way to say we played 5 games in 6 days and we went 5-1. You know, or 4-1. So that would be fantastic for Lennox, but we'll see. It's been a really tough schedule, and we'll see how they come out of it. Yeah, 2 huge games. Wakona is getting a little healthier. Harper Key was their second pitcher. She has been hurt. Marley Arnold has done a great job to hold things down for them in the circle. Julia McComish, who's a freshman, got 1 game, and so they're kind of working her in. And she should mention, since we talked about who's at Graceland Wright, is, I think, the most innings pitched so far this season.
Yes, tops in innings, yes. 61 innings, 46 Ks.
Yeah. She's not a strikeout person.
No, yeah. Monument's Andrea Paul, 59, and then 2/3 innings has 74 Ks. That's kind of far and away the top strikeout thrower.
She also mentioned Ava McMahon for Pittsfield. I think like 29 innings and 36 Ks, something like that.
Yeah, I don't know if she was hurt or they were just splitting time, but Amelia Polidoro is pitching a lot of innings there.
So she could play, but she couldn't pitch.
Yeah, so.
So she missed like a week and a half, and that's why Polidoro got like, you know, 3 or 5 games in a row, and she has so many innings.
Yeah, and she's throwing 44 innings.
He gave me your car keys, so I guess we're switching rides. Actually, this is your wife's car, so yes, that's true. That'd be an issue.
And you were mentioning Wacona yes. beat Monument yesterday as well. Yeah, okay, 19-6. Can do strikeouts, but yes, beat Monument yesterday and are now 9-1 heading into at Taconic tomorrow, and then they'll have the Lenox game 4:00 at Lenox on Saturday. Marley Arnold 60 Ks in 43 2/3 innings, so
pretty good.
If you're looking at Ks per 9, Ks per 7, I couldn't figure out the math on it, so I didn't bother trying. But she would be among the leaders with Andrea Paul there.
Right. Yeah. No, she's been very, very good. She got decent velocity on her throws. Let's see, a few minutes left here. So you were at track last night. What's going on?
Yeah, I had a week. After a week off, I've covered 3 straight things, which is bizarre for me in springtime. Track, I wanted to go down a Monument last night because, I hadn't seen them yet. All right, that's not an outlet. We're good. I hadn't seen them yet. Was hoping to obviously see Amelia Desoletz and Everett Pacheco. They're two kind of star distance runners. Unfortunately, neither ran yesterday, which is, unfortunately the case sometimes with these things. But also wanted to go down there because a bunch of kids down there had monster invitational performances over the break. Berkshire County track kind of takes April vacation off. But teams went out to Foxborough for the MSDCA Invitational, out to Niskayuna Classic in New York. And I think the Weston one is coming up as well. But City Colbreth, who is a sophomore at Monument, kind of broke out a little bit last year as a jumper, was at States, I believe, for triple jump. But was, hovering around, among our leaders. And then just kind of randomly popped a 48-foot 8-inch triple jump, which I want to say is like 2 to 3 feet further than his previous best, 2 to 3 feet further than our current honor roll leaders, which is pretty wild. And I'm down there yesterday, he did not do the triple jump yesterday. I was looking to see, like, is that just a crazy outlier, or are you legit jumping 48s now with some regularity, which is what you kind of have to do to stay at that level and he'll have 2 more years to continue that. But 48.08 in triple jump, 23.11 in long jump on the same day. He won the triple jump, I believe finished second or third in long jump. But the bigger factor is both broke Berkshire County records, school records as well, in that the Berkshire County records were held by Monument Mountain students, one of which
Oliver Berkowitz
was recent, so that was just 2 years ago. That was long jump. So the triple jump mark had been held since 97, which is pretty crazy. And I have Cooper Calvert is our number 2 right now, a legit track and field star. Our number 2 triple jumper, 43.08 is his current best. So Colbreth has him by 5.5-ish feet, which is like confusing to think of. You're looking at it like, is that a mistake? It was at the MSDCA Invitational, which is about as legit.
Extra bouncy track or something.
I don't know. It's that entity is about as legit as you can get in the state. So yeah, I guess it's legit, and he now holds these 2 records. Oliver Berkowitz graduated 2 years ago. Oliver Curtis set the school record in the 400 out at an Invitational over the weekend as well. Then he comes in yesterday, and the 4x1 team with him and Colbreth on it sets the new school record in the 4x100. So lots of records are falling. Do mention quickly, Cohen Zahn ran a 9:51 mile would not be.
I could wouldn't do that. Care about that.
9:51 2 mile. He was gunning. Their school records around 9:41, so he's shooting for that. But got under 10, the first guy to do that this season. In the Berkshires, so he's lining up, and I just want to see these kids race each other, but it doesn't seem to be happening right now.
They refuse. All right, we'll see if these kids actually, play the sport they're supposed to. It's a rainy day, so maybe not today. Mm. But interesting games coming up. Hopefully you all enjoyed Should mention Eats a Pizza coming up May 7th at the Berkshire Hills Country Club, 6 p.m. You can visit pittsfieldtv.org/pizza for more information. Hope you had a good time. Hope you have a good rest of your week. Don't plant until Monday when it's no longer frozen. And have a good day. Take it easy.